is preeminently the time to speak the truth, the whole truth, frankly and boldly. That the only thing we have to fear is fear itself.
Today's show is brought to you by Paul's Automotive. Paul's Automotive is located at 634 Route 46 in Kenville, New Jersey. If you want a master mechanic who has over 38 years of experience with quality work, he's your guy to call. He strives to keep you in a safe and reliable vehicle, and his goal is to make your experience as pleasurable and convenient as possible. It's not like you're dropping your car off and you're getting somebody named Joe Blow who's working on your car. Paul's the guy that'll be working on your car, and he gives you a reasonable price. We're proud to say that he's helped Autism Radio many times to keep our vehicle safe and reliable on the road. So he's your guy to give a call today at 973-584-1035. Remember, he's always committed to quality, and he's pleasurable to work with, and he is very helpful. So give him a call today at 973-584-1035. 1035 today.
Welcome back to AutismRadio.org, home of the world's first autism support radio network and proud 501c3 charitable organization, helping families challenged with autism every day get services they desperately need. Please help us make a difference in the autism community and find it in your heart to support 1 in 88 families in America today. Donate directly at AutismDonation.org. Now, stay tuned for a special broadcast of Hope Saves the Day with autism activist, super dad and author of The Spectrum Diet, Master Chef and the Hope Man himself, your host, Paul Simmons.
Thank you for that great introduction as always. It's great to be back on another edition of Hope Saves the Day. I'd also like to welcome back to the program my co-host, Lynn Glukoff.
Hi, Paul. How are you?
Good, Lynn. It's great to have you on today. We just want to, before we get started, just want to send a huge thank you to Brandon Adams for putting on the great event this weekend. You know, it was wonderful. So many people came out to support Autism Radio and Autism Awareness. And, of course, you know, at the UFC gym, it was at 2020 Jericho Turnpike in New Hyde Park, New York. Beautiful location. So anybody looking to do a martial arts program, definitely check it out. So like I said, it's 2020 Jericho Turnpike in New Hyde Park, New York. So just want to thank everybody for their support out there, Lynn, before we get started.
That's great. I'm so glad to hear that.
Yeah, it was fun. It was a lot of fun. We had a great time. Got to talk to some wonderful people. Very, very supportive of Autism Radio. It was really nice to hear from some of the parents and some of the fans that were there, because you just never know who you're going to meet. It was pretty cool. Like, you know, there was a couple people there that Brandon told about the show a couple years ago, and they've been listening every week, you know, for the last couple years. So it's cool to hear that. It makes you feel good, you know, that your work is being admired and being appreciated. So it's a lot of fun. But we got a lot of stuff to talk about here. We have a great question of the week that was on our Facebook social media page that Lynn posted this past week. It was about name a professional or expert that's helped you or your child with autism and the most, and to explain why. And this could be anything from a neurological pediatrician to even a nutritionist. And we got a tremendous amount of feedback and responses that Lynn is going to be sharing with us. So tell us what we have.
Yeah,
who we have.
And again, I have to thank the same certain people that responded. We got a ton of responses. I'm, you know, not going to mention names, but definitely I want to thank everyone ahead of time, because this was a very interesting question. Again, it's going to range from, you know, the range of the child as far as how severe or high functioning they are or how old they are. But I just was curious as to, you know, what was the most helpful. I'm just going to run through. Okay, the first person said the psychologist helped me understand seeing the world through his eyes. For me, it was early intervention and the psychologist. That's another person. Special education coordinator at my daughter's preschool helped. Actually, I didn't even know they had those at preschools. That's pretty interesting. Maybe it was a public preschool. This one was kind of interesting. A specialized nurse, play therapist, was a fantastic lady. She can refer to any professional. She plays with my son and manages communication. actually a former special ed teacher who now does tutoring work. She helped us in so many areas. Okay, that's another answer. We have a speech therapist, early intervention case manager. Helped. She was very knowledgeable and helped me at the start of my journey. This is an interesting answer. After 7 psychologists, 5 different psychiatrists, social skills classes, a panic disorder clinic, her first neuropsychologist is truly the only one that understands and respects her. Now, I had never heard of a neuropsychologist, actually, until we just recently took Michael for an evaluation, and guess who did the evaluation?
Oh, really?
She was a neuropsychologist, and she was excellent.
Oh, that's cool. You have to let us know who that is so we can let others know about it, too.
I will. She's from Eden, which is they're actually renowned in the world of autism. So
yes.
She did a full evaluation. But she's actually was the VP of, we lucked out because she was covering. But, oh, my God, so much knowledge. Unbelievable. It was overwhelming. But I've never been referred to as a neuropsychologist before, and I found that answer pretty interesting. Mine was a 60-plus age physiotherapist with the importance of physical activity and therapy. She was totally right. Working on proprioceptive input, has been the most successful so far and even increased his capabilities with speech, fine and gross motor. Once the body is regulated, everything comes into place. I've actually heard of a school that does that. Have you heard of that?
Yes, I have, actually.
Yeah, they just do like physical with them, and they learn through that, which I think is so interesting. Next person was a higher functioning older son, definitely a chiropractor, and I've heard of people using chiropractors, and a play
yes.
therapist who also does neurofeedback. Our 18-year-old son has ID and GI issues. The autism PCP has done more for his gut in 1 month than the pediatrics and GI specialists have done in his whole life. Also, sensory smart is important on his staff. So interesting how one person can really help you so much. My oldest, I would say, a developmental pediatrician, and the youngest, a neuropsych. Here's a neuropsych again. Parental educator. I've never heard of that title. If not for the workshops we have been fortunate enough to go to, I'm not sure where we'd be. Maybe not even married and certainly a lot less confident in advocating for our boy. That's a great, great job, parental educator. I'd like to think of myself as a parental educator. occupational therapist first. Secondly, and probably more important, a personal care assistant who started at age 16 with my son until she graduated from high school. No formal training, but hands-on, the most help, and the best personal care assistants. We went through a whole bunch of them. A neurologist when my son was 6, and I was at my wit's ends with the self-injurious behaviors, broke and flipped through a phone book at me, made an appointment, and asked him what makes my sons do this. He appreciated my research into medications and therapies, and he was the only doctor who didn't degrade my decision to place my son on meds at the time. It was a life-saving choice to help my son from injuring himself. See, this is why I like to do these things, because we get such a range of answers.
Oh, yeah, because everybody's different. Everybody has different experiences, and, it's interesting. And the great thing is that it gives people opportunity to have some diversity in therapies as well.
That's true. Child development consultants and social workers, this person said. Let's see. Special education advocate. I had 2 people say the advocate. One said special education advocate. He understands to get behind the scenes and what all the testing means. He taught me how to win and get my child the services. Next person said definitely the IEP advocate is immensely helpful when referrals and getting involved. It gets the IEP meetings get a little scary. This one said, my sons are in high school. I will give you a list of professionals that made a huge difference. I could go on and on and forever, but I think it was the people that were awesome as opposed to the job they did. And that's what you and I were talking about last week, Paul, is that sometimes it's just the person's personality. It's not necessarily the training
right.
or the education.
Right. Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. I know, one big influential person I'd like to thank was Sandy Naglia, who's been my son's teacher for so many years. She's had some incredible breakthroughs with him over the years. And one thing that she always used to say to us is that, you know, Jonathan was capable of doing so much, and that you have to remember that he has the abilities to do a lot of things. And I think it's just sometimes someone changing your perspective and your belief on what your son or daughter may understand or be capable of doing. Because I think sometimes parents, we kind of, you know, we don't mean to do it, but I think sometimes we can actually hold our children back because we figure, you know, they're so severe and, you know, they're not able to do certain things. And I think with that mindset, sometimes we can actually hold our own children back, I think, sometimes. And I think that when she said those words to us, it's definitely changed our perspective on things.
Yeah, like I said, last week we have a dentist, and I actually wrote an article years ago about Michael, one of Michael's home therapists when he was little, who we had for many years, ABA person, who a couple of things she said to me just stuck out in my head so much that I still, to this day, think of her, like, never give up, you know, keep pressing, keep, you know, be the squeaky wheel, gets the services. A lot of things that she said really helped me. And, you know, she was great. Anyway, I'm going to go on here. This person said she could name a lot of things. A couple of dentists, a pediatrician, one bus driver. I could go on forever. And this person again said, in my opinion, it's the way they relate or apply their knowledge, not the training or education in itself. I don't know about most helpful, but one of my son's one-on-one that made a huge difference in his life. Previously worked at a bank. And she just clicked with him like no other person. She was his ed tech at school for a year. Really, most of the staff made a huge difference in their own ways. Compassion, doing this work because they love the kids, those are the kinds of people I prefer regardless of experience. We have an amazing dentist, too. So that was the end of the responses that I got. And, again, you know, these people, I'm really thankful that they gave us such a wide range of answers on our Facebook pages and through my questions. So, you know, it's always interesting to me. Like I said, my dentist is amazing. I have also one of Michael's therapists, one of Michael's home therapists, is a licensed psychologist in the school, and she runs Michael's camp during the summer as well. She's a young lady, and she's just amazing. I mean, she knows the severe end, and that's where obviously I prefer it because she's been exposed to that for so many years at the camp because she has all different disabilities and all different ranges of, severity.
Right.
But she's taught me so much, and she's the licensed psychologist, and she doesn't freak out when he doesn't listen. She knows how to handle him. She doesn't get frazzled easily, you know, and it's better for him because these kids have a lot of anxiety.
Oh,
and,
of course.
You know, if they sense that somebody else is anxious or, you know, flipping out, it doesn't, you know?
No, they pick up. They're very sensitive to people's feelings and emotions. You know, they're very, very much in tune. If the doctor or the pediatrician sometimes is very anxious with them or in a rush, the kids will actually act out worse, I find.
Yeah, definitely.
You know, you have to really have a lot of patience and take the time to allow these kids to do their thing sometimes before they come around, and it can take a while.
Yeah.
You really have to have a lot of patience. And
sometimes I find also, like, it's maybe with me, I think it's also picking little pieces and fragments of things I've learned with different people over the years that stick in my head. Like, I remember one babysitter we had who worked with a special ed teacher. She had said to us, you know, never talk about them in front of them because
yeah, absolutely.
Crying, which no one else had ever said that to me before, but I was like, oh, you know, that's a good point, you know.
Yeah, because, you know, sometimes we'll be, you know, talking about our kids to, you know, your spouse or even your sibling, you know, your other child, you know, and having a conversation, and they're right there. And it's
right.
Like,
and
you know.
It's not fair to them, and they may not know exactly what you're saying, but they might know by the tone.
Yeah. Well, that, you know, it's funny you bring that up because, you know, I always go back to the story with Carly Fleshman when I had Arthur Fleshman, her father, on our show. And that was like a big deal because, you know, for years they were talking about her in front of her to, you know, each other or whoever. And when she finally had a major breakthrough and was able to start to communicate, that was one of the things that she wrote to them that bothered her, that, you know, you're talking about me and not to me.
Right.
And really, you know, and that was a big wake-up call for that family at that moment. And I always remember that So I'm very conscientious when I'm talking to my wife that I don't do that about my son, especially he's in front of us.
I've been trying to tell Amanda, and she's little yet, but she's, you know, a lot of times she'll say, oh, he does this and he does that. I'm like, Amanda, stop. He's right here.
Right.
Talking
exactly.
about him like he's right, you know, he's not there. And then my dentist, actually, like I said, he's fantastic, but he actually taught me things too. Like he said, don't say a sentence like in other words, I would sit in the room with Michael and I would say, it's not going to hurt. And he said to me, don't say the word hurt. Because when they hear the sentence, all they hear is the last word.
Right.
If you
right.
say the word hurt.
They focus in on that, yes.
That's all he's really hearing is hurt.
Right,
so
exactly.
Don't
say that word. Yeah, so he's thinking it's going to hurt probably more so
right,
than
exactly.
what you're saying.
And you know what? I would never have thought of that.
Right.
But this guy working with kids with a severely autistic, like I said, he has no specialty in autism.
Right.
But
right.
he's a pediatric dentist, but he had you know, one patient or two, whatever, who were pretty severe. And he's like, just don't say that. You know, just don't be careful what you say.
Well, you know, some people don't have to be professionally trained to be able to do these things. Some people have a natural gift of understanding others. And I think, you know, there's a lot of special people out there that may not have, you know, a special education degree, but sometimes I feel like they do a better job than some of the people that are trained in special education sometimes.
Right. Oh, yeah.
Because
them,
they have a certain gift.
We've had this conversation online with some of my friends. Some of the therapists or behaviorists are actually make you feel worse instead of better. And I had a lot of guilt with certain people that I've worked with in the past that, you know, you're not doing enough, you're not doing this, you're not following through, you're not consistent, you're not. And I'm like, you come and live my life, and then you tell me how consistent you are.
I love that. You know, sometimes some of the educators, you know, you do get that. I have heard that story many times to us too back in the day.
Yep.
And also talked to so many parents that had the same issues where people are kind of telling them, oh, yeah, you need to be doing this, you need to be doing that.
Right.
And it's like you said, they're not living their lives. But then the great teachers, I find, will say, our job is easy compared to what you have to deal with because we get to go home.
Right.
And you're dealing with this 24/7.
Exactly. And like I said, the one who I like, who I prefer, the licensed psychologist who comes here, you know, she'll never, ever make me feel guilty about not doing, because she knows that this life is not, you know,
not easy.
Hard.
No, it's not easy.
You know? And you don't need guilt on top of, you know, the life that you're living when you have a severe child, when you're not getting sleep, when your, you know, child's not toilet trained or whatever it is. You know, I hear from other parents as well. It's not just me. It's really not fair to blame the mother or the last thing you need is to feel guilty and feel like you're not doing enough because,
right.
you know, any person with a special needs child who's with the child as much as we are puts 100% in. I mean, I really don't know that many parents. The ones that you and I are in touch with anyway.
Of course.
Or the ones that are vocal about it are people that are definitely, you know.
They're involved heavily. Yeah, they're heavily involved in their child's activities and education and, you know, overall well-being. You know, they're
right.
really, really involved.
So
with
I
that.
Think that's a good point to
yeah.
bring up. Is
no,
that,
absolutely.
You know, that's just that guilt really doesn't help anything.
No, it doesn't.
Saying to me, well, don't take it personally. You know, she's just doing her job. That's her job to say that as a behaviorist. Yeah, but she could say it a little. You know what I mean? Like.
Yeah, I mean, there's definitely. I think you know, some of these professionals need a little bit of sensitivity training sometimes,
yeah.
and they mm-hmm. and they don't mm-hmm. realize that they're actually hurting the other person's feelings. You know.
Yes.
Because
right.
you're already, you know, we talked about this on a show not too long ago, Lynn, I think you were on with me. We were talking about the levels of stress,
mm-hmm.
How it
yeah,
can
yeah,
be compared
definitely.
To, you know,
right.
potentially going to war or being a soldier. And,
right.
you know, we had this big discussion about that.
Right.
And, you know, we're constantly using that fright or flight, you know, energy, you know, so our adrenal systems are constantly being tasked every day, you know, the stress
right.
and the anxiety that's put on our, you know, families in general, because it's not just us too, it's the brothers and sisters of the child,
right.
it's the mom, it's the dad, it's the whole family that
right.
gets affected. It's
it
not just one person.
And that's actually a good point, because one of the I think posts I just put up was again something about mothers, and someone said, oh, the father too, and I said, yes, definitely the father too, but for some reason we can't seem to get them to call in and talk. But
well, I just think dads like, you know, I've talked about it on the show.
Right.
You know, I think dads just have a different thought process, and it doesn't mean that, you know, some dads don't care. It's just
right.
that they
no.
don't know how to deal
yeah.
with it, honestly. They don't know how to cope with it because, in general, unfortunately, men from a young age generally are taught not to have their feelings exposed. We're supposed
mm-hmm.
to be tough. You know, we're supposed to be tough. We're supposed to be able to endure basically anything. You know, from a young age, that was kind of the way, you know, boys were being raised.
Yeah.
And it has changed a little bit in today's society, but still there is a lot of that old thinking that, you know, not allowed to have feelings, you know, and that's really bad because it ends up causing problems later in life. You know, and the thing is, you know, they don't know how to express themselves and deal with the situation, you know, and dads in general are trying to fix things. And when they can't fix a problem, they kind of walk away from it. And that's kind of was a major breakthrough for me when I used to do a lot of the dad support groups, when I used to go around to different areas and talk to dads about this kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. And that was the biggest thing, is that we don't know how to fix it. You know, our wife is stressed out all the time. You know, our other kids are affected by this, and I can't do anything. And they don't know how to cope and deal with it. And actually, they're going through all this internal turmoil, you know, where they'd be driving. They actually, the one father told me, and I'll share this story, but, you know, he's driving to work one day, and he says, you know, I was ready just to drive off the cliff. He goes, because I can't deal with my life. He goes, but then I thought about it. If I did that too, I'm not here to support my family either. So it's like a double-edged sword, because he's just felt like he's trapped in this, in his life. He's trying to keep his wife happy, trying to pay the bills, you know, and trying to help his child as best he can, and he just didn't know how to do it. And, you know, there it's really hard. So when you put it in that perspective and think about it, because a lot of times, you know, and not to take anything away from the moms, but a lot of times dads are trying really hard. They just don't know how to do it. And they don't have the time or the resources to be able to do a lot of things they want to do. Because a lot of times the dads, like I said, they want to fix a problem right away. They're more, you know, moms are more kiss the knee and think about the stitches later. Dad's ready to stitch them up. Okay, let's get this healed up and put antibacterial on it. You know what I mean? And some dads are like that more so than a lot of moms. But nowadays, it's the roles have changed, because there's women out there today that are the breadwinners now too. So the roles have changed over the past few years. And it's definitely interesting to see the differences now, and what, you know, I think men want to be involved more. You know, when I started this, there was not very many men at all. It was all pretty much run by women, the autism community and the blogs. And I was probably one of the first guys that actually did this. So it was very unique for me. And they kind of looked at me like, you're a guy, like, you know, like, okay,
now,
yeah,
I think there's actually even a blog site that a dad does.
Yes, there's many out there now. And I've had them on the show, too, a lot of daddy bloggers and different dads. I know a good friend, Scott. Yeah, Scott Long, you know, he's been on our show. He's a comedian. You know, he does a lot for the autism community, too. And it's just, you know, dads do want to get involved. And I just think they just didn't know how to do it. You know, and so now that they're figuring out ways to contribute, you're seeing more and more dads getting involved and being able to share some of their experiences and expressing their feelings. That's the other thing. That's a big thing.
I have to say, my husband started a special needs league here in Mala, and I'm just really proud of him for that. I think that was his way of getting involved, and they just kicked it off yesterday, and they had 22 kids sign up, believe it or not.
That's awesome.
Who are all from Mala. We didn't know any of them, you know, knew like maybe one person, but everybody thanked him, and he was just amazed at the turnout and the level of people that came, because we never had a league before.
That's great, because, you know, people are looking for stuff. The people are looking stuff to do with their kids.
Exactly.
I mean, you know, I started the swim program. I think we had 12 kids. Now we're up to 63.
Wow.
You know, it's just crazy. You know, once the word starts to get out, and we have a waiting list now for the Passaic County one, because we just don't have enough room in the pool to fit. You know, it's only a 2-hour class every Saturday.
Right.
So we're actually talking to the YMCA to try to expand our program and add another 12 kids to that program on Thursday nights.
Okay.
But, you know, it takes people to do it. And it's, we're, you know, we're all volunteers, so it makes it a little bit tough. So that's why, you know, we need funding, and we need your support to make a donation to autismradio.org, because by you doing that allows these kids to get into programs, and the parents don't have to pay for it, and it's all paid for by the organization. So, you know, we need your help and your support. So, you know, make a donation today at donations.org, or go to autismradio.org and make a donation today for one of our programs. Real quick, want to get this out there too. Lynn is going to be speaking at the Autism Awareness Seminar coming up at the Mahwah Public Library at 6:30 in Mahwah, New Jersey. The seminar is free and it's open to all. And we will, and they're going to be holding a story time upstairs. So if you need to bring your kids, you know, please bring your kids so you can come downstairs and listen to our early intervention director, Lynn Glukoff, and of course my co-host as well. She's going to be speaking at the seminar. It's going to be a great thing, and it's free. So it's a great way to get out and get some great information. And also coming up this week, we got the Park Lake Gala, which is this Friday night at 7 o'clock to midnight at the Brownstone in Paterson, New Jersey. And if you do want to get tickets, there's still tickets available. And if you want more information, please give Sandy Garrett a call at 973-983-1099. Again, it's Sandy Garrett at 973-983-1099. And also on May 3rd, Walk for a Lifetime at Verona Park. The Children's Institute will be holding their annual Walk of a Lifetime in Verona Park. And TCI is a great educational, therapeutic, and vocational training for children and adults on the autism spectrum. So you can go to tcischool.org/walk today to register or make a donation to their event. And also, we have our 6th annual golf tournament coming up on Monday, June the 1st, from 9 a.m. to 7 p.m. at the Picatinny Arsenal. This is hosted by the North Jersey Federal Credit Union, and it's going to be a great day, you know, to play some golf and also for great causes. Half of the proceeds go to autismradio.org, and the rest of the proceeds go to the Boys and Girls Club of Paterson and Passaic, New Jersey. So it's all for a great cause, a great golf course, and like I said, you get a chance to come out and see that. Be sure to call Adia at 973-785-9200. If you have anybody that wants to be a guest or you want to be a sponsor, there's still some chances and opportunities available. So if you contact Adia, she can send that to you. Or if you want to email her, you can email her at marketing@njfcu.org. So it's a great event. And, of course, Lynn, our very own Autism Radio Casino Night. Save the date, Friday, September the 18th. It's from 7 to 11 p.m. Tickets are $95 per person and includes a full buffet, open bar, $100 in casino money and prizes to the winner, as well as tons of private silent auctions. And also we have a DJ on hand for some great nights of dancing. So it's going to be a great time out. We're also going to have some guests there. We heard a little bit, little birdie told me possibly the former New Jersey Devils Stanley Cup winner, Kenny Danico, might be in attendance. So we also have some other great surprises about some other celebrity guests is attending this event. So it's going to be a great opportunity to meet some pretty cool people there. Raise money for Autism Radio, and it just helps everybody and their families continue to support our programs by coming out to this event. So you can go to autismradio.org and get more information on the event as well. So we'd like to thank everyone, Lynn, as always, for continued support on the program here on Hope Saves the Day. And we'd like to wish everybody a great week. And remember, everyone, until next time, Hope Saves the Day.
Hi, my name is Tom Casella, and I'm a music teacher in a special needs school in Pompton Lakes, New Jersey, called the Windsor Learning Center. I've created this music video to help spread autism awareness. This project is important to me because I've worked with many autistic students over the past 7 years, and I've watched the number of students diagnosed with autism increase. The newest statistic is that 1 in every 50 children is diagnosed somewhere along the autism spectrum. I was inspired to create this music video for Autism Radio's Hope Saves the Day music contest to help spread autism awareness. Musicians are to create music to the lyrics written by Paul Simmons and then submit their music to listeners, then to be judged. The lyrics are about his personal experience with his son who is nonverbal, and I wanted to dedicate my musical rendition to someone I know in my life, a beautiful mother and daughter who are facing some of the same challenges, Tammy Margerson and Jalen West.
Every time I see your smile, I wonder what you feel. Every time you laugh or cry, I wonder if it's real. You seem trapped inside, please help me understand what your world like. I wanna feel your love. I wanna know what it's like to laugh and play. Imagine a thought you can't feel, a tear trapped inside. Imagine a sound. ground you can't make no matter how hard you try. I want you to know how I'm feeling, how it feels to be me.
Watching. Please share this video to help spread autism awareness. Also, please consider donating to autismradio.org, America's first 100% volunteer charity for autism.